Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by friend of the show, Mr. Peter Marsh. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I love being on your show, man.
Pete, we love to have you here. we're coming off the heels of the 300th episode. You're coming off of the Exorcist month over at the LasserCast. How was the Exorcist month for you?
I hadn't watched the Exorcist show that was on Fox, and so Danny and I reviewed season one and two, and I thought it was great. You're a fan of that?
Season one's definitely better than season two.
Okay.
To me. But yeah, I liked it. I wish it had gone on.
Yeah.
And been done more seasons. But I like the show, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. All of the, like, conspiracy stuff with the Vatican, and like it goes to really crazy places, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, it's crazy that it was on Fox, right? Because like, yeah. Does Fox even have like fictional programs anymore?
I don't know. I can't think of like what dramas they have.
Yeah. Like, maybe they have like The Simpsons and Family Guy still, I think, but that might be it.
Did you in season one? Did you see?
Yes.
Did you know the twist was coming? Were you surprised by that twist?
Danny had mentioned that there was a connection to the original movie, so I knew something was going to tie it together, but I didn't know that, like, spoilers for the show, Gina Davis was Reagan growing up. Yeah, so I didn't know. No, I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, sadly someone had told me. But, I mean, what was good about the show was it was a very twist. It was very, like, the pilot ends with a twist, because you think it's going to be one girl and it's the other. So it was one of those shows that was very, like, I don't know, maybe like Lost, like where it's just like it is constantly like pulling you in with like twists.
Yes, it. I thought it was very well done. There wasn't anything that I sort of like cringed at. I agree with you that I think the first season was stronger than the second season, because the second season felt like it kind of they had to like fill it out to make it be 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But it was really disturbing for like a networked show.
Yeah. I agree. It was cool, and I feel like not a lot of people watched it.
Right. Are you just sitting there like pondering how to transition this to Ninja Turtles? Like, are you like, how do I transition this Ninja Turtles? Yeah.
No, I'm not figuring out how to transition it, because this show's a breakneck speed. Transition is not necessary. But I just wanted, I guess I just wanted to talk a little bit, because there's not a lot to talk about with our topic. I mean, there's interesting things to say, but it's not like we've done more in-depth stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of just fun.
Yeah.
What we're here to talk about today is a new comic from IDW, part of their Saturday Morning Adventures, I guess, imprint, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And this is a comic book that is in style, both the art style and its writing style, kind of emulating Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes.
Did you read the trade?
I did, yes.
Okay. So the first trade is the first four issues. They are standalone stories, right? Mm-hmm. Like Saturday morning cartoons were. You know, each one can stand on its own. You're not like lost by anything. There were some adult jokes in there, which I want to ask you about who this comic is for.
Okay.
I kind of don't know. But you actually told me about this imprint, Saturday Morning Adventures, because it's more than just Ninja Turtles, right?
Yes. So it's published by IDW, right? And IDW, they did this really great job of collecting a whole bunch of licenses when they first started out. Like, their big hit, and it's kind of ironic because you're like, hey, there's not much to talk about with this topic. But I'm like, just wait, man, I'll melt this shit. You know, I got a lot of stuff to say about comics. But IDW, like their first main hit was 30 Days of Night, the comic, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually they bought Transformers and G.I. Joe and My Little Pony and, you know, all these Ghostbusters. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ninja Turtles.
Saturday morning cartoon. Why are they not on this imprint? I want a Saturday morning Ghostbusters.
That is a really good question. I don't know if it has anything to do with the new Ghostbuster movies, and maybe the rights might be shifting. One thing I wanted to point out was that IDW was doing really well for a while, and then they had this pretty drastic drop off in sales, and I'm not sure the reasoning behind it, but they ended up losing the license for Transformers and G.I. Joe, and now another company called Skybound which is owned by Robert Kirkman, the guy that created The Walking Dead and Invincible. He now is going to be producing G.I. Joe and Transformers comics.
I didn't see the last Transformers movie, but didn't spoiler, doesn't the last Transformers movie end with a connection to G.I. Joe?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. It was just sort of tacked on there by the director. They were gonna have it be that stupid Sector 7 or whatever the fuck it's called. That was going to be like the secret organization that they were going to bring the main character in. But then they're like, wait a minute, why don't we do G.I. Joe? This will be a lot more interesting. And fans sort of blew their fandom load on that one.
Yeah, right. So IDW, why did they, because I've read a lot of their stuff. Why do you think that happened?
Okay, so, you know, one of the fun things about talking to you, man, is that like sometimes we can get political and get a little bit deeper. And I know that there was this big controversy at one point when IDW released a picture of like their new staff. And it was this big picture of a whole bunch of people working there.
Oh, and, no.
You know, here we go. And that amazing phrase that we hear so often, go woke, go broke.
Oh, wow.
It was like a staff of like, I think there was like one white dude. And then it was just a bunch of like women, and they were, you know, people of all different ethnicities, and just like the middle-aged fandom guys just fucking went nuts, you know?
I was just talking about this on a different podcast. I just read this book called, it's like a YA. I like YA novels, and I'm not ashamed to say it. It's a YA novel called Don't Read the Comments. And it's about this girl. It's kind of inspired by Gamergate. It's about this girl who plays this open world game, and she's kind of internet famous. She's like a streamer.
Yeah.
But because she's a female, just in that space, trolls like basically like go after her and like try to destroy her life.
Right.
And it got me thinking about that time in history, which is, it's not totally over, but the Gamergate thing is kind of settled down. But what was crazy was like just existing is the crime. Like, I don't know if you remember, do you remember the Marvel photo with the girls with the milkshakes? Do you remember that?
Thank God you brought that up. I was just about to reference that.
Go tell us about that.
Yeah, I don't remember which editor it was, but she took a selfie of herself. Wow, that's redundant. She took a selfie, and it's her at like Starbucks with a bunch of other female editors, and just like the fanboys just went nuts over that too. They're like, "Oh, what are you doing? Going to get a smoothie? You should be figuring out what's going on with Daredevil right now." You know, they were just so upset.
What's funny is like the caption didn't say, "Hey men, we're here to castrate you," or "We're here to change comic books for the good," for, you know, like it didn't say anything like that. It just said, "Hey, Marvel employees went out and got shakes or whatever."
Yep.
But just that they existed.
Yep.
Not as men, people like that is political, which is crazy.
Right. Could you imagine if it was a bunch of men from Marvel getting a beer? They would get like so many likes. It'd be like, status quo.
Right. And nobody would say that's political, although it would be, I think.
Right.
So that's what it sounds like. That's what you made me think of when you talked about IDW. You think that photo of a multicultural comic book creative agency, that was enough to make people vote with their dollars and not buy IDW comics anymore.
I think that's really the only thing I could think of. I know that like Hasbro leaving IDW was a big blow for them because Hasbro includes My Little Pony and Transformers and G.I. Joe. So that's a big deal for them.
So who do they have now? Just still Turtles?
So they absolutely have Turtles, and I don't know if they still have Ghostbusters, but I think that might be it as far as licensed
properties. They do all the Turtles now, though, right?
Yeah.
So like the main line of Turtles is from them, and then there's this, and then there's the Last Ronin stuff.
Yes. Okay. And I think that maybe they have Dungeons and Dragons, like the license for that too, because one of the Saturday Morning Adventures comics is a Dungeons and Dragons comic.
That's awesome. I've never watched the show.
Yeah.
I
don't know if you can see it.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
What else is there? Dungeons and Dragons, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they had My Little Pony still. I think that's gone as well. It was interesting because they actually did make a G.I. Joe Saturday Morning Adventures book.
Yeah.
But you can't even get it because now Skybound owns the rights to G.I. Joe, right? So you can't even get that book now.
Skybound sounds like Skynet.
Yes.
Like, who wants to like, support Skybound?
I don't know. I mean, people that are fans of Robert Kirkman, probably. Like, if you like Invincible and Walking Dead, then I think you're going to be real happy with what's going on there.
Coming this fall, Walking Dead babies followed by Walking Dead? And it's got a question mark after it?
All right, let me ask you this. This could be a side tangent. Did you like the Walking Dead show?
I never got into it. So I'm not against it. I just never got into it. But I think it's funny as an outsider to see all these spinoffs.
Yeah. Oh,
kind of like I can't keep up with them. I'm like, wait, what? There's Fear of Walking Dead, and then there's like Walking Dead After Dark. I don't know.
I kind of dropped off after the first season. I wasn't a fan. But Robert Kirkman is a pretty great comic book writer. And the Invincible comic is great. The Invincible show is great, too. Have you watched that?
No, I actually haven't. Is it really
Dude, you would eat that shit up. You would love that show.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I should. Well, this is a tangent too, but I think it's related. We're similar in age. For me, Saturday morning cartoons were a very big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's something that doesn't really exist now. Like the other day, I was thinking about this and I just said, like, what is on the networks on Saturdays? And it's like golf. Like there's nothing because there's no even point in producing it.
Right.
You know, once you started to have Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, that was basically it for it. What I've been doing, I've been making my own Saturday morning, which is like whenever there's an animated show that like I want to watch, but I don't really want to binge.
Right.
Now what I do is like on Saturday mornings, I'll just catch up with those shows. So I make
that's fun.
Like I've been watching. Have you been watching My Adventures with Superman?
No, I need to, though.
It's good. I watch that every Saturday. I was watching the Gremlins animated series from HBO every Saturday. So it's like I've been recreating it for myself. So I'm very, I don't know, it's definitely a nostalgia thing because it really doesn't exist anymore. But it was such a big deal. Do you remember like Saturday morning cartoons? Like,
Of course. Yeah. I mean, the Ninja Turtles were a big deal for me back then. And then, of course, like Thundercats, Transformers, Masters of the Universe. I mean, I ate all that shit up. I had all the toys.
Yeah.
Saturday morning was like you would just like sit down and just watch a block of fucking TV for like 4 hours.
Right. You know? And like there'd be like colorful McDonald's commercials and commercials for toys.
Yeah, and we lived sort of like in the zenith of it, right? Because like we lived at a time where you could still watch Masters of the Universe, you could watch G.I. Joe, you could watch Transformers, Thundercats, but then while we were still young, it transitioned to like Batman the Animated Series and the X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
Perfect time, man.
But I liked some of the non-adventure stuff too. Like I loved Garfield and Friends. I watched forever.
Garfield and Friends is like far superior to the computer animated Garfield cartoon that's on now.
I didn't even know there was one on now.
My 7-year-old daughter watches the new Garfield and it's just all like computer animated and just so fucking cheap looking.
Do you gatekeep her? Do you like run in and go, this is shit. You don't know good Garfield.
I kind of do. Like, that's how bad a dad I am. I was like, oh man, Odie's so much fucking better in this old version.
Where's Nurmal? Nurmal's not
right. Cool. Well, they have all the Garfield people. They just don't have those U.S. Acres people. Remember them?
People slept on the U.S. Acres, but you know what? They were good. They
fucking were fucking awesome.
Sheldon?
Yes.
He was afraid to come out of his... Come on now, people.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Did you ever watch the Netflix show Smash, Saturday Morning All-Star Hits?
No, what's that?
It's really funny. It's kind of like a sketch comedy show. It's by Kyle Mooney. It's from Kyle...
Oh, from SNL.
SNL. And it's like, just watch an episode. It's basically like a Saturday morning block, but it's all like parodies. It's like a parody of like Thundercats, a parody of Smurfs, but it's all like adult comedy. But like,
yeah,
it's really interesting. If it'll bring you back.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think. We've gone on like 18 different tangents, I think, because there's not a lot of like meat to dig into with this Turtles comic, right?
They're
but
all, they're episodic. They're like, you know, they're four singular little episodes, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the title page here. I see written by Eric Burnham.
And Eric Burnham's cool. Eric Burnham wrote a Beast Wars comic. Do you remember Beast Wars?
The Transformers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like 85% of our conversation today is, do you remember this? Did you ever see this? You know? But his Beast Wars comic was really fucking good, too.
Okay. So this is written by Eric Burnham. Burnham,
yeah.
Laddie, colors by Sarah Meyer. Letters by a bunch of people, Sean Lee, Jacob Wood, Nathan Wittick. The first episode, the first little story here, the first issue here is it's a pun name, VR in Deep Trouble.
Oh, God.
It's an interesting place to start because it's not even like a real adventure. Like they fight a VR version of Shredder.
Right.
And at some point, all the villains are there in like a splash page. So it kind of tells you who's going to be in the show.
Right.
Or be in the comic. But it's like they're not actually in like fighting Shredder.
Right, right. It's pretty great. I mean, they even have like fucking characters like Ground Chuck and Dirtbag show up. Yeah. Ground Chuck is the bull. I had the toy of him when I was a kid. And like Dirtbag is that mole that like looks like a miner. Right. Like Ninja Turtle villain, Token and Razor, yes, in animated form. That's really fucking cool too.
Right. So that's a cool thing too, because it's like stuff like this is so postmodern, right? Because it's like, okay, this is a throwback to the Ninja Turtles cartoon, but we are going to reference everything in the Ninja Turtles lore that we have the legal right to reference. So like it both emulates or like pastiches or parodies the Ninja Turtles cartoon, which is, by the way, they just announced all of the original Ninja Turtles cartoon is coming to Paramount Plus. So if you've never seen it, you can see it now.
Awesome. Okay.
But it also has like a very winky winky, like, we know you're an adult reading this.
Right, right, right.
But I think it's cute because it's corny, like, for kids.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, one of your questions before, right, was, like, who's this written for, right?
Right.
And I think, honestly, it is IDW just completely cashing in on nostalgia. Like, it's just, like, it's like their Hail Mary play because they know they're running out of money. They're losing licenses left and right. Okay, we just gotta like cash in on nostalgia as much as we can.
Yeah.
And so it's like literally just recreating our Ninja Turtles cartoons from when we were a kid. That's it.
Right, right, right. Right. And will work.
And the artwork like looks exactly like the artwork of the cartoon.
Yeah. They got the tone down and the banter down. The only thing that doesn't fit is there will occasionally be like almost like a fourth wall breaking joke that is weird because it acknowledges, I know that you're a grown up reading this kiddie thing, but we made it to feel like a kiddie thing because that's what you have nostalgia for.
Yes.
Like, at one point, I think Donatello or Leonardo says turtle power. And then someone else goes, you know, you say that a lot.
Right, right.
Like little jokes like that, like you'd have to be a longtime Turtles fan and an adult with an adult sensibility to laugh at that.
Yes. The Turtles, as far as I can remember in the cartoon that we grew up watching, they didn't really break the fourth wall like Deadpool very often.
No, they do it a bunch in this.
Every single issue and maybe even multiple times per issue.
Yeah.
There's one part where like either Michelangelo or Raphael turns and is like, they're looking right at the camera or the panel, right? And they're like, oh, well, we only have 20 pages to do this now, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. So, but there's some weird Deus Ex Machina convenience in the plot. And then someone goes, that's pretty convenient.
Right, right, right.
It's like, well, we only have 20 or so pages these days. And then like, what?
There's literally one fucking panel where a turtle says something and there's like three turtles in the panel and they all just literally just turn and just stare at the reader and they don't say anything, you know?
Well, there's a joke where they're talking about a comic and then April says like, no good idea ever came from a comic from the 60s, and then they all look at us.
That's it. That's it, right.
Which I think is that's a Daredevil reference, right? Because Ninja Turtles is in the 60s.
Right. You got it on the money there. Yeah, Ninja Turtles is a parody of Daredevil originally. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's fun stuff like that. I also like when they go to the VR game.
Yeah.
Looks like the select screen from the arcade, the Ninja Turtles arcade game. Like when
that is great.
You want.
Like, yeah.
Little shit like that. Like the iconography is so. And it's so funny because you see this a lot. Like, do you see Ghostbusters Afterlife?
Of course.
In that, and it only has one shot, but when like they have the ghosts are busting loose moment, you see what's the name of the purple one with the one eye?
Oh yeah, I don't remember all the ghosts. I just know Slimer.
I forget his name. He was never in the cartoon. He was a toy only.
Okay.
So that's his first appearance in a Ghostbusters narrative at all. But it's a toy. Even like the little like. The gunner seat that comes out that the girl that's I think a reference to the gunner seat that was on the Ecto-1 toy,
right
on the top of it. So it's so interesting because it's like it's pulling from your imagination and also like the whole cultural thing, like, you know, and I mean if you start digging into it, you could find a lot of things like that. Like I remember when I saw Rogue One and they showed Darth Vader's castle. I was like, whoa, it's Darth Vader's castle. And then people next to me were like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, you don't understand. In the expanded world, he had a castle. And blah, blah, blah. And I was so hyped to see the castle.
Yes. It's all like Easter eggs because all this stuff is made by guys that are just like us. That grew up playing with these toys. They watch the same stuff, you know. There's this really great part. This is what got me the most excited. This is how lame I am. Is in the fourth issue, they do a sort of like, you know, amazing or fantastic voyage. They go into Splinter, right? And at one point, they're looking at Splinter's blood under a microscope, and the microscope is Perceptor from Transformers.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, well, I'm a huge dork, so that's why I noticed that, right? And, you know, Eric Burnham, he's written Transformers comics, so, like, that makes sense that, like, it would be Perceptor
as the
microscope. Yeah, yeah.
But it's not, I mean... It's mostly us, but it's starting to expand to women as well because the Barbie movie, like I saw it with, I liked it a lot, by the way. And we did an episode of PCMC on it.
Nice.
Now, the week, you heard it last week. And their stuff, I didn't love it like my girlfriend did, but she loved it the way I love this stuff because she was like, no, that was a real Barbie or that was a real car that she had, like the same stuff. And it's interesting seeing it from the outside.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
Oh, wow. Like, this is like Barbie's like an 80% good movie. And then that extra 20 they make up with it with just continuity porn and nostalgia and references.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually just saw it too. I saw it with my daughter, who's 13 now, and then my wife, and they both loved it too. And then my mom snuck and saw it too by herself. And she was saying that even as a kid, she had that Barbie who's like boobs grow and stuff.
Yeah, that was a real Barbie. Like,
it was a real Barbie. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I wish I was on your Barbie episode talking about that too. I actually really liked the movie too. But
yeah, it was good.
Yeah. It's just like people like eat this shit up. They love the nostalgia. Like this comic. I think it'd be fun, like, if we... I mean, the comic just basically works, I'd say, about 70% based on nostalgia, right?
Right. The narratives, these little singular stories, you know, they're very rushed because, you know, they say they only have 20-something pages, and they wrap up pretty easily. Like, you're not narratively enthralled by it.
No.
But, like, honestly, like, when you're a kid, I don't even know if you're narratively enthralled. Maybe you are because you're young and you don't know a lot of narratives, so things, you know, excite you. Or maybe you're not. Like, maybe you're just watching the Turtles. Like, when I think back to watching Turtles, and I watched so much of it, I can't remember one, like, plot. Like, I can't remember, like, I really can't remember, like, oh, there's the episode where this happens and then that happens and then they have to do this. I just remember villains and certain vehicles and like the banter. The banter between them is really like what I thought was hilarious and what like made it all work.
Yes. it's weird, right? Because I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on Pop Culture Man Children, but on my other two channels, I talk about this constantly. There's in wrestling, there's this term called fantasy booking. And Danny brought it up on Lastercast one time. And we always use it all the time. It's essentially like when you're a wrestling fan, you kind of can tell how a match is going to go, or you like make predictions about what's going to happen in a match before it happens, right? And I think I remember as a kid, and maybe this is why I wanted to be like a writer and stuff, I was always excited about what was going to happen on the show. And I was always like, oh man, they're going to fight Shredder this time. And like, this time one of them's going to die. Like, you're always like excited because you think some new kind of twist is going to happen. Right. But it was always like the same kind of formulaic shit.
No,
but
I remember you're a kid and you don't know that it's not possible.
Right, right. You know, like, oh man, their back is really up against the wall this time. But it's always the same thing where you essentially go back to the beginning every episode.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know? Right. They could be watched in any order.
What's
the point of TV pre-streaming? Like, they have to be watched in any order because you don't know how they're going to be syndicated.
Right, exactly. And I mean, they make like little changes. Like, they maybe make some changes to like the weapons they use or like a base or something on shows, but like you just sort of accept it over time.
Right, exactly. Like, it's never like, unless it's a to be continued.
Right.
Never like, oh, I don't know what's happening because I didn't know what happened in the last episode.
Right. And I mean, like, going along with this fantasy booking thing that I'm talking about, with Ninja Turtles in particular, they released so many figures that eventually made it onto the show, but like, they would be like new figures first. And so you'd be like, oh, who's this dude? You know, and it'd be like these cool characters that have these like really sort of insulting names, but they, like, a lot of them look cool, right? Like, you know, I said already Ground Chuck and Dirtbag. But, I mean, there's so many. Like, what are some of your favorite non-Turtles, non-Shredder figures from that time?
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
Well, like Ace Duck?
These don't really... I guess this doesn't really count because they weren't characters. But I loved all the ones where they dressed up like...
Oh.
Like, it's Star Trek Leonardo or...
Right.
They just kind of did those with the new Turtles. It's like a Walmart exclusive. I haven't been able to find it, but it's like, or like the Universal Monsters as Turtles.
Right.
I remember a few years ago, Turtles as Ghostbusters. Like, I loved shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, that shit's great, but like, what about like characters like Metalhead, right? Or like Baxter Stockman and Rat King, right? Like, I thought that the expanded cast was really exciting. Yeah. And you know, going back to, you were talking about like, well, what was special about individual episodes? I think that when they would deviate from the formula and it wouldn't be like just Shredder and Bebop and Rocksteady, but like Baxter Stockman or the Rat King, I'd be real excited about that because it was something different.
I remember loving Mousers.
Yeah. That was like a special kind of episode, you know, it was like this different threat besides like the Foot Clan.
Yeah. And they were so annoying in the arcade game. Like, there'd be so many of them. There's a story in here that's Mousers. It's the one inside of Splinter's body, which is called Big Trouble in Master Splinter.
Sounds like a porno, yeah.
Yeah, where it's a bunch of Mousers inside of Splinter, and then, like, Splinter's white blood cells, which are, like...
Little rats?
Little white rats.
Yeah.
Gross and interesting.
Yeah, they were really gross looking. They looked sort of like hamster babies or something. Yeah. But they knew ninja moves. His white blood cells did ninja moves on the Turtles.
Right. Of course they did.
It's just like, for me, like, I used to love the Ninja Turtles figures. They were probably my favorite figures. Mm-hmm. And so, like, anytime that one of them showed up in the cartoon, like, do you remember like Leatherhead, the alligator? You know, and then there was just like really fucking weird ones. Like, there was like Wingnut, who was like a bat, and Screwloose.
Yes.
He had like a little mosquito. Yeah. And like, one thing I loved about this comic, I believe it's the third issue. It's either the third or the second issue, but it's when Casey Jones shows up.
Yeah.
And it's interesting seeing Casey Jones because I couldn't really remember him from the cartoon. I remember his figure. He looks just like his figure in this comic.
Yeah. In the cartoon, he never, like, I don't even think he ever took his mask off.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he was romantically linked to April the way he was in other versions of the story.
Yeah, right. I actually was thinking that while I was reading this comic. because there's certain parts of the Ninja Turtles mythos that like kind of change over time or that are always there. And one of them is that like it's like April and Casey get together, you know, and sometimes like April's a fighter too, and other times it's like April's just a reporter or she's a scientist.
Right. I know, in the Casey story was interesting because it was called like Super Casey, and he got like something struck by lightning, so he has powers.
Yeah.
And so his like he's actually a pretty fucked up character when you think about it. Like he's like a very violent vigilante.
Yeah.
So he like I guess becomes even more single minded that way. And like he's like beats the shit out of a jaywalker. He gets the turtles because they're driving without a license, and he's like, the brave men and women at the DMV don't put in work just for you to do whatever you want. Like there was some funny shit.
Yeah, he's really intense in this one issue. And it's funny because like the Elias Kateas Casey from like the gritty movie is not as extreme as this guy.
Right. Because that guy at least felt human sometimes.
Yeah.
Whereas in this he's just wild.
I wonder if like because you know we've talked about this before in other episodes I've been on, but like the turtles obviously are like a parody of Daredevil. Mm. Maybe Casey is originally sort of inspired by like the Punisher. Because there's that dynamic between there's the dynamic between like the Punisher and Daredevil, right? Where it's like Punisher's way more extreme and violent, and Daredevil's more, you know, about justice. And maybe it's like Casey is sort of more extreme like that in the cartoon, at least. You know,
that's an interesting idea. I think it might be true. I mean, it's interesting even in the cartoon, like the just the very existence of Casey, I think it's more complex than a lot of the other stuff you see in Turtles. Because it's like, here's a vigilante that's worse than they are. Like, it makes you question the idea of being a superhero.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, you... Like, I don't think Casey killed people ever. Or maybe he did in the comics. But it seemed like they were like, well, you know, you just beat the... We don't beat the shit out of people where you do.
Right.
We try to, like, tie them up to, like, a light pole or something and then let the cops do it. Whereas Casey will, like, beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. There's always that kind of episode in, like, a Saturday morning cartoon or, like, cartoons from our time where there's that hero that's, like, too extreme or, like, too much.
Right.
Yeah. Our heroes kick people in the face and stuff, but they're not as bad as this other guy.
Right, and we don't use our weapons unless it's on robots.
Right. You just took what I was going to say. Like, the Foot Clan, they were all robots in the cartoon, yeah.
Right, instead of impoverished youth. Right. Instead of kids from broken homes, brainwashed like arcades and like skating ramps.
Yes, and Sam Rockwell, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of all four plots. There's the virtual reality one. There's the Casey Jones one. There's the Master Splinter one. What's the fourth one? I'm missing one.
The second one in the book is a rock soldier from. Krang's world.
Dimension X. Yeah.
Dimension X comes to help Shredder. Did you think that Professor MacGuffin was modeled after the professor from the second movie with the bow tie?
Yeah. What's that actor's name? He just died like this year too.
Werner?
Yeah, David Warner, right? He was the professor in Secret of the Ooze.
Right. He wasn't called Professor MacGuffin. But
no,
it seems like when I saw it, I was like, oh, that looks like he's based on that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, especially like David Warner from when he was in like The Omen and stuff when he was younger.
Right. Was he the one who got his head chopped off?
He was.
With a pane of glass?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. I liked Professor MacGuffin just based on his name alone. That was another one of those winking at the camera moments.
Right. Which no kid would understand the term MacGuffin, which I think if you're a PCMC listener, you know, but if not, MacGuffin is a term that Alfred Hitchcock coined to mean the thing, no matter what it is, that's driving a plot forward. And a MacGuffin is come to be a term to mean like it, when that thing that's driving the plot forward, like, doesn't have a lot of meaning. So like R2-D2 is the MacGuffin in the first Star Wars movie. The MacGuffin in Pulp Fiction is the briefcase with you don't know what's inside of it.
Right.
So it's sort of like a story element. And what's funny is he creates this really weird, stupid invention that looks like a gun.
Yeah.
It looks like a gun, but when you shoot it at somebody, it makes that person see from the perspective of the person they disagree with.
Yes.
All right. I don't know why you shape that like a gun. Counterintuitive to your plan.
I thought that the second issue was the weakest one by far, and I actually didn't really like that one that much. But it felt incomplete. It was just like, you know, what's going on here?
Right. But it does make you wonder, like, you know, like pastiche is like not to get too like critical here, but like, you know, like the difference between pastiche and parody is like basically degrees. Like a pastiche is like when you are trying to, you know, emulate something else's style, whereas a parody is you're kind of making fun of it. I wonder if this comic continues to run, if it'll get more parody, because that issue felt really like the story is a joke. Like, it doesn't matter. This story's stupid. It's a MacGuffin. This thing makes no sense.
Right, right.
It felt like the most openly, like, making fun of the premise.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you on that one. I mean, especially the way it's resolved at the end, right? Essentially, this rock warrior from Dimension X gets recruited by Krang to help Shredder get this weapon that was created by MacGuffin.
Yeah.
And he's, like, grappling with the weapon and Michelangelo, who's holding it, and then it essentially goes off.
Yeah.
And then he starts to like music. He likes rock music, which is like, right, you know, kind of like, oh, he likes rock music. He's a rock guy. Yeah, yeah. But
I think, though, where he's like at this, he's at like a music festival.
Yeah.
And he's listening to the band on stage, and they're singing, and this is the lyrics of the song they're singing. Gotta be who you want to be, not the person you were yesterday. This isn't pretentious if you're 16, which those are the lyrics in the book. So this isn't pretentious if you're 16 is clearly a parody of a certain kind of rock music.
Yeah. It felt like to me, what were you thinking? It was like Ninja Rap, like Vanilla Ice?
No, I was just thinking like, it was like, I don't know. I mean, clearly the lyrics are parodic.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's specifically pastiching or parodying a certain artist, but just the line, this is deep when you're 16, is funny to me, because it's like, that's a lot of rock lyrics are like that. Like, oh man, right, you get cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Man, that's how I feel. And it's like, that's stupid. Like, it's deep when you're 16.
Right. Yeah, that was actually one of my favorite parts of the Barbie movie, when they were all singing Matchbox 20.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was great.
So funny.
No, yeah, it's a joke, and it felt like such a filler kind of issue. It's
crazy because it's the second issue, so that doesn't spell good things for the series.
Yeah, yeah, not a lot of longevity. Well, let me ask you this: would you keep reading this book, like, if you weren't reading it for this show?
I don't know if I would, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, if it got, like, I guess what I was trying to say before was, like, if it evolves into a place where it is more like a parody, like, almost mm-hmm. like the Adam West version of Batman for Ninja Turtles,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and someone came to me and said, oh, you gotta start reading that again because it got really crazy, like, this Placid and now are so nuts. That's what I want. Like, go full into that crazy.
Right, right. Yeah.
Except that your audience is adults. Like, it feels like this kind of has the jokes for adults, but I guess they think, like, oh, well, maybe kids will like it. I don't know. But just full on know who your audience is.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, right? You're asking about the audience, and I bought the comic at my local comic book store, and it was in the kids section. You know, so obviously they're targeted towards kids there. This 4-issue arc that's collected in this trade, it's like a complete arc by itself. And then they have a new book that they just put out, which is another Saturday Morning Adventures Ninja Turtles comic starting from issue 1. And the guy at the comic book store told me that that one is an ongoing story where it kind of issues.
Oh, but it's still
so.
line.
It's still the Saturday Morning Adventures line. It's still got the same kind of artwork. I think Eric Burnham is still the writer. I think you have the same artist too, but they're making it where it's like an ongoing thing. And I think that that's where it works. Like, did you read the Ninja Turtles comics when you were a kid? Like the ones that were based on the cartoon?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. One thing we should kind of, just in case your audience doesn't know, but like there was the pretty serious and dark black and white Ninja Turtles comics by Eastman and Laird, and they were Mirage Comics, right? That's the company they had that put them out. Then when Ninja Turtles blew up with the cartoon, Archie Comics had the license to make comics that were inspired by the cartoon, right? And they were really good too. And
so that's kind of like what this is.
Yes, 100%, 100%. And like one thing, this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but they had like all these different side characters that were based on toys in the comics too. And they had a spinoff comic called the Mutanimals. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Jesus. Sometimes I get a little embarrassed by the shit I start talking about on your show, but like,
that's all
right. It was just basically a team of like the weirdo mutant characters that the turtles would interact with, like Mondo Gecko and like Wingnut and Screwloose. And there's like this fucking manta ray mutants and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a really awesome comic.
But I want to go back to something because I'm confused. The other trade that you're talking about, was that like after, did these four issues come out first?
And yes. Then, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then that's after.
Yes.
So have they already changed gears or was.
Yeah. So these four issues came out and then they started to put out another comic and it's, you know, a couple issues in, it might be like four, five or six issues in, and it's going on right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, man.
On the back cover of this, it says discover four lost episodes from the original 80s cartoon, but lost is in quotes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's interesting because it's trying to make it like that thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Cool. Well, so you're really into the mutants. You were just talking about the mutant toys and stuff. How do you feel about the new movie that's coming out?
Oh, I'm really excited about that because it's that, you know, like I said before, whenever they would deviate and not just be like Shredder and the Foot Clan and Bebop and Rocksteady, I'd always get super excited. And yeah. I don't think Shredder's in the movie at all.
No, I don't think so. I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Oh, I'm jealous, man. I didn't even know you could go see it yet.
I think it's next week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is a like an early screening.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing it at I go to the Alamo a lot. Me and Jen go to the Alamo. We have like the membership.
Yeah.
So we're going tomorrow to not the one in Staten Island, actually, the one in Brooklyn. We're gonna see it.
Yeah. But
we'll just say we went last night to the Alamo in Staten Island to see the Haunted Mansion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ninja Turtles menu. And they have a pizza called the Mutant Mayhem Pizza, which was really fucking good. It was bread, ranch dressing, garlic, what do you call it? Broccoli, spinach, and goat cheese, which I asked for without the goat cheese because I don't like goat cheese. Yeah. But it was really fucking good. I was like, this is awesome. Like, I'm going to eat this from now on until they get rid of this temporary menu.
Oh man, that sounds good. Like you know, the Alamo Draft House started here in Austin.
Right,
like where the first one is. And so whenever you guys in New York talk about going to the Alamo, it just kind of blows my mind. but I was gonna say that, like, I'm glad you brought that up because they make a lot of disgusting pizza references in this comic too. That's something that's very connected to the cartoon.
Right.
It'd always be like, oh yeah, add some extra, you know, parsley, or I'm trying to think of gross things in a pizza. Yeah.
Right.
Like in the live action movie, I think they talk about like putting penicillin on a pizza or something.
Yeah.
Fucking weird like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like in the same vein of like with Scooby Doo, like Shaggy would make like sandwiches out of weird shit. Like, oh, it's a bologna and ice cream sandwich.
Right.
Shit, which I guess is like, I don't know the joke. You're making fun of teenagers or you're making fun of people on weed. I don't know what the joke is, really.
Right.
One of them in here, I was like, I would try. Ants on a Log pizza. It's pizza, but the crust has peanut butter and raisins on it. Raisins. I was like, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I might be a weirdo. I can't believe I'm saying this on your show, but I used to put mayo on my crust sometimes for pizza.
I will dip my crust in like anything, like ranch, barbecue, honey mustard, anything you, any kind of dipping sauce.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty common now.
You're so fortunate because you live in the home of the turtles, where New York, where pizza is so great. Right. I live in Texas, where like our pizza is Domino's and Papa John's, you know. So you got to dip it in something just to make it taste like something, you know.
Yeah, there's no good pizza.
No, they have some places, but nothing like New York, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always say it's the water,
like
the pizza or like the bagels. Like
bagels.
Here.
Yeah, the bagels are lame here too. Yeah. I'm just trying to think like what else I had to say about this comic. Like I would get it from the library, and if I didn't have to spend money, I would probably keep reading this book, but I wouldn't spend money on it.
Yeah, I agree. Again, unless somebody said to me, oh, you should dip back into it because it got really cool.
Yeah. Or like if it crossed over with another franchise that was like in this style. Because the Turtles cross over with all different kind of franchises in IDW Comics.
Right, they cross over
with like the Ghostbusters. And then they even had like a Ninja Turtles Stranger Things crossover recently.
Oh, really? I saw the toys for that. I didn't realize it was based on a comic.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, wow, that's an interesting twist. I'm not like a huge Stranger Things fan, but I think it's kind of ambitious to meld those two together.
Yeah, that is an interesting one.
Yeah, yeah. So, but if they had like a Ninja Turtles Thundercats or something, like something from that time, I'd be real excited.
Yeah, yeah. I remember liking the Ghostbusters one. I thought the Ghostbusters one was good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's up with IDW and Ghostbusters. I don't know if they still have license or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Then I remember they also did like a Ghostbusters like multiverse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like they met the Extreme Ghostbusters and the Ghostbusters from the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Yeah.
I remember liking that too. And the female Ghostbusters.
Right, right. I know that that's like what they were saying, like maybe in the movies they would do something like that to kind of explain what that female Ghostbusters, like how that matches up with the other ones. But I don't think that's going to happen now.
Well, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about before about like people getting angry at women for existing. So we did an episode on that for PCMC. I think the 2016 Ghostbusters is funny. I mean, it's not as good as the classic Ghostbusters, but I don't think it's a terrible movie by any stretch of the imagination. But people fucking hated it. It was the trailer was like the most downvoted thing in YouTube history at the time.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how powerful misogyny is on the internet, right?
I know. It's
funny because I was going to say, when you and I talked about covering another comic on here, and we talked about covering a Turtles comic, you and I talked about Jenica, the Jenica IDW comic. And if people don't remember, the last time I was on, Jenica is essentially the female Ninja Turtle that was a human at one point, and they made her into a turtle. I read that book, and I actually really enjoyed it. I would have talked about it on here too, but I think that that's a good alternative to this book. Like, if you want, like, a more serious Ninja Turtles comic, I recommend reading the other IDW comic they have, which is, like, the other Turtles comic.
I've read a couple different Jenica trades, but none of them are what I was looking for. I was looking for, like, her arc, like, her first story, and I couldn't find that, the trade that I read, like, it threw us right in the middle of this ongoing story where like everyone was turned into a mutant.
Yeah. And I don't
know what the fuck's happening.
Yeah. The problem with some comic book companies is when they put together a trade, they just take like random issues that are relevant and they just shove them together and they don't give context.
Right.
So when you're reading
the
it, it's like
this, of this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's this disjointed story where you're like, I don't understand what's going on.
Right. It just, I read two different Jenica trades and both had like some issues the same. So it's like, right, you're like doubling up, like just, I want her story, but
yeah.
Well
yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's a good alternative though. Like the IDW comics of the Ninja Turtles, they've been going on for like a long, maybe even a decade at this point, and they're really good, you know? And then of course you and I discussed The Last Ronin, you know, a while ago too.
They're making, there's a spinoff of it that they're doing now, right? With the second group of turtles.
Yeah, this like next generation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't usually read issues because I don't have the memory for it. But when that comes out in a trade, like we'll talk about that.
Should yeah, count me and in, man.
Let me know what you think about the new movie. I'm interested to see what your thoughts will be.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my 7-year old daughter to go see it, so we'll probably go next weekend.
Very cool, very cool. All right, Pete, thank you so much for being here. Peter Marsh, you can find him. Oh gosh, you can find him everywhere. He's on the LasterCast. He's on Comic Books Transform. That's basically it. Actually, those two. He's on PCMC a lot these days. So you've been doing a lot of theme months and stuff. Like after the Exorcist month, what's next?
Oh man, yeah, that's a good question. We are going to cover another show because me and Danny like to cover shows on there, right? So we did the Exorcist, the first season, the second season, and now we're going to do the show called From. Have you heard of that show?
From.
It's a pretty stupid title, right? But it's called From. It has the guy from Lost who played Michael. He was in Romeo and Juliet, like the Baz Luhrmann version. I don't know if you know who that actor is. Like Harold Perrineau. He's the main guy. And it's sort of similar to Lost, where it's a bunch of people, but in like a deserted town. And it's supposed to be like a very scary show. For like a show.
A British show called Fro?
I don't know.
Come on, folks. Grammar humor for you.
But that's what we're covering next after Exorcist month. We just did Exorcist 3, which is the first time I ever watched that.
God, I love that movie. Number one jump scare of all time for me.
And spoiler for the second season of Exorcist, but they like kind of do that jump scare.
Yeah.
That kind of made me laugh. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. Like on the LasterCast, me and Danny, we just cover modern horror movies and TV shows that are streaming, and then we also cover classics. We just did a Wes Craven month like last month.
There was everything besides Freddy, right?
It was everything besides Freddy and Scream. Yeah,
which is a cool idea because like the other stuff.
Yeah. And then on Comic Books Transformed, I feel sorry for me and Brian, but like we cover a lot of the mediocre streaming things like Secret Invasion and all the Star Wars.
I didn't watch that, but is it as bad as everyone said it was?
No, I don't think it was as bad, but it wasn't like exciting or fun to watch.
It wasn't enjoyable.
You know, like when you have like a long shift at your job, that like you're working in retail or something, and you're like, oh fuck, I got to eat something because it's my break, and you just go to McDonald's. That's what a lot of Marvel things are like.
Oh boy, wow.
Yeah.
How they've fallen.
Yeah. Phase 4 and Phase 5 have not been very exciting, but yeah.
But we're getting to the end of summer, which means we're gonna like start thinking about Halloween soon. I'm starting to think about my Halloween episodes and stuff. So I'm sure you guys always do fun stuff around Halloween and stuff. So we'll collaborate on something. Halloween's my favorite time of year.
Ditto. I love it. Yeah. One time, our first year in the LasterCast, we did a movie every day of October.
Wow.
Yeah. So we don't have the time to do that this time around. But Danny's just great. And we'd love to have you back on the show at some point, too.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Peter Marsh, everybody. Pete, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.